This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. All right, so this morning in Inside Higher Ed, I read about a student protest going on at Seton Hall. I guess you've heard about this, Mark.
Yes, absolutely. Ongoing on campus.
Leslie, have you heard about this?
Yes, I have heard about it.
So I'll just give the quick details. I won't put anybody on the spot. But basically, there is a set of student protests, and the group has several demands. They want a full-time faculty member dedicated to Africana studies. Sounds great. They want a reconstruction of the university's EEO office and Title IX compliance. Sounds great. More funding for Black History, Hispanic Latino History Month, Women's History Month, Islamic History Month. I'm sure that's not going to break the university bank. But they have another demand that caught my eye. And it's that they want a student oversight board of faculty hiring, a permanent review board to help oversee faculty hiring at the university. I can get on board with a lot of these things, but the idea of a permanent student review board that oversees hiring, what do you think of that?
At first, I mean, the first thing I think about that is, you know, good try, kids, but that's not going to happen is number one. And also number two, you know, it reminds me of the fact, and, you know, I tell this to my students all the time. I say, you might think that given all the money your parents have to pay for tuition at this institution, you might think that my job is to teach you. This institution does not care whether or not I teach you anything, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Right? And so I think that these students are moving forward under the premise that they are central to the university's mission and that teaching, right, and them being taught is also central to the university's mission. And unfortunately, in most of our colleges and universities, even at liberal arts colleges, that's just simply not fact.
So what are we doing then, in your opinion? Like, what is our job?
I take the teaching part of my job very seriously, right? But I don't really get rewarded for that, except, I mean, I did get the teaching award, right? You get a plaque and, you know, and a pat on the back and, you know, and that's about it.
Well, that's still big. I wouldn't diminish that.
No, people are like, oh, that's cute, right? That's cute. That's very cute.
I'd be proud of it.
I mean, our job is to draw attention, positive attention to our institution. Our job is to create new knowledge, right? We are rewarded for research, and we are rewarded, I think, for bringing good press to our institutions, much more so than we're awarded for teaching. And so we're here to legitimize the credential that the students are getting. But it doesn't necessarily have to come through actually providing them with good pedagogy.
I think that too. You know, often I think of my role as, or at least not maybe my particular role, but the role of a research professor is to, it's to make the institution that you work at look like a legitimate place. And I guess that means getting in the papers and getting in the journals and things like that. But is that the right way? Like, do you think that we should be listening a little more closely to students? Or do you think that, you know, maybe there are limits to, you know, how much student influence should be in on the process? Like, would it be a good thing to have that kind of board? Or do you feel like it would ultimately diminish a university to give students as a group oversight over faculty hiring?
Well, a lot of it depends on the institution, right? So if you're an institution that I think pretty much has a captive audience, like a captive consumer base anyway, right? you know, I kind of, I think there are two ways you can think about it. You can think about it as, well, I don't have to give you anything because you're going to keep coming anyway, right?
Yeah.
Or, sure, let's have a board. What do we have to lose, right? So I don't know. I think that students can come with new ideas, but I also think that I think that students don't necessarily understand the business models under which colleges and universities operate. And, you know, and who knows, maybe having students more involved would actually force many colleges and universities to actually take their concerns, you know, in terms of what it is they think they should be learning, how they should be learning more seriously. I'd like to see teaching be more important and more valued, and I'm sure these students would too.
Could
I chime in with a slightly less cynical view, just a touch less?
Yeah.
Yes.
Although my general spirit is to agree with both of you on it, I think there's lots of well-meaning people and administrators all around the country. First of all, we have it in the language of our mission statements in a lot of universities that we care about the learning process. Mm-hmm. So I mean, certainly we can make the point that we give lip service to it and that the rewards are elsewhere. And I would agree with that, but I wouldn't bend the stick so far as to say that no one cares about teaching in some ultimate sense. Mm-hmm. I think administrators care about it, professors care about it. But at the end of the day, just to go follow up on what Leslie said, the rewards are going to come for a university to the extent that its research gets a lot of visibility, draws a lot of positive attention to a university. So I see this more as a sort of institutional contradiction, more than something I would ever attribute to the sort of conscious intentions, even if administrations around the country.
You know, it's interesting too, like the value proposition that the universities extend generally doesn't involve academics anyways. Like if you gave the people what they wanted, I would imagine what you'd get is a bunch of really entertaining, not demanding faculty. Like everybody like an easy A with Jordan Peterson and Neil deGrasse Tyson or something like that, right?
No, you're making a good point. And that's sort of the irony of this, why I feel some ambivalence in just speaking about these larger protests nationally, not necessarily what's going on at Seton Hall, but you know, making a claim for, well, students want to have oversight. Well, I wrote a piece a number of years ago in a radical pedagogy journal where I basically made the case that I don't share like selection of books and texts with students. I mean, there's good arguments for it, don't get me wrong, but it's like at the end of the day, I didn't spend, you know, I spent too long, frankly, almost 10 years getting a PhD without that, you know, speaking to some level of erudition and experience and wisdom that I can impart upon students. The notion that they're going to come to the table already with the awareness and understanding to be able to sort of determine who the teacher should be, doesn't speak very well to what the professional socialization is that we're experiencing going, you know, getting our doctorates.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's probably possible to assemble some very thoughtful student representatives and explain the big picture concerns involved in selecting faculty. Like I wonder, could it work? Like where maybe not something where the students get a plebiscite, or where the median student is a decider, but where you have some thoughtful representatives who can be explained the process to them. Where are these negotiations right now at Seton Hall, Mark? Do you know?
Yeah, the university made what seemed to me to be very positive overtures to the group. Some willingness to extend a hire in English for Latin American studies, willingness to have a director, I mean, in the process of building one through the dean for Africana studies, which apparently has been underfunded here. So I think these are very good moves on the part of the administration to sort of meet the needs of the students. And let me just emphasize, they're ongoing negotiations right now, by the way, so we'll see how things play out. Let me just emphasize that my earlier statement wasn't meant to be a sort of carte blanche rejection of student input. I think it's useful and desirable to have students having input into the process, but I don't know, I you know, going back to Leslie's point about, you know, good try kids or something, at the end of the day, faculty are the ones that are involved in this process of you know, selecting incoming faculty. I think getting input from students is great, and administration as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that I'd say is, you know, I think maybe a conversation should be had about at what level should student input, right? Or can student input make the most difference, right? So for example, in our department, we have student reps and they get to vote. I mean, they get to vote on hiring decisions, right? So they each get half a vote, right? And together, I mean, they can collectively vote for a candidate and could actually end up, especially since we're a relatively small department, they could end up having a significant impact on our department, right? And so one has to wonder, I mean, does it make sense to have students operating at that level, at the departmental level, because they have some kind of investment in their major, right? In the discipline and how that department gets shaped, or should they be right at the institutional level, where, you know, maybe what they're trying to do, and it sounds like part of what they're trying to do at Seton Hall is to change significantly the demographics of faculty. And it could be that being like having that bird's eye view actually would give students a much better understanding of how to actually create a demographic shift.
All right, so wait, there's a weird, one more thing. There's a weird bit from this story that I want to read. It says the university started what's called the Talent of Inclusion Project, which issued 5 tokens to first year students upon arrival, which they could then give to other students they witnessed performing an act of inclusion or welcome. And one student who was with the protest said, quote, a student, quote, would pick up a Black person's pencil or help a Muslim student with their book bag and they get a coin, she said. We felt like it was a mockery of this struggle that students of color had on campus. So this is weird, Mark. It sounds to me like you get a coin for being nice to a minority student. And that is a mechanism for what? Well, can you explain to us what is this?
Well, I only read the initial email from the provost, so I didn't follow the story super closely. I know they had to call it off just this past month because of the reaction, pretty broad reaction. I don't think it had any support, actually. That said, I think the spirit of the provost's office was, from their standpoint, a positive one. They were trying to foster inclusion, so you hand out these coins. When people engage in activities that are sensitive to a fellow student some way, then the idea would be you'd give the coin to them. They would write their initials on one side of the coin. Apparently, after a certain number of initials, you'd bring it to either the provost or president's office and get some kind of prize or something like that. So sort of like fostering a culture of sensitivity and inclusivity.
Okay.
But it was sadly seen as, I mean, I guess the word tokenistic is the right word.
Yeah, right.
And superficial, really, that, you know, a kind of window dressing.
Wait, did you have to be nice to a non-white student or a minority student for the coin?
You know, I think the initial, my recollection was the initial language was left pretty open.
Okay.
That it didn't necessarily, that's how it ended up later on getting translated. And okay. I could be wrong on that. Maybe it was initially only sort of spoke to that, but I don't think so. I think the language in the beginning was any act.
Okay.
But a lot of critics were highlighting that. It's like it actually helps feed social divisions by drawing people's attention to these categories rather than a spirit of broader inclusivity. So I just feel bad because I honestly don't think the provost's office had ill intent in any way. I think they wanted to genuinely foster this.
Yeah, you know, that's because they didn't have a sociologist in the provost's office. Like, I would go all discipline and punish on them, right? I'd build some kind of panopticon, right? And they would never know if I was watching, right?
I find this, though, with a sociologist in there to realize the problems with this plan.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I'm obviously joking about the panopticon, but that's basically my point. I mean, you know what? Sociologists are good for something, you know? So use us.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.